The pill and its link to breast cancer is an important health issue, and this study, peer-reviewed and published in the Mayo Clinic Proceedings, a reputable medical journal, gives critical information that young women today are not hearing often enough, neither in the media nor, more importantly, in their doctor's offices. Dr. Chris Callenborn is here today to discuss the study in detail, leaving plenty of time for questions. And I'll take a moment to introduce him to you today, right now. He graduated from Penn State Medical University in 1988 and has been doing research on the effects of oral contraceptives on breast cancer for well over 10 years. He continues to see patients as well as traveling to places like Russia, China, the Philippines, and Canada. And in June 2000, he testified on this topic before the Federal Drug Administration in Washington. His most recent publication, which is in front of you on the table, published by the Mayo Clinic, is called Oral Contraceptive Use as a Risk Factor for Premenopausal Breast Cancer. And he will present those findings to us now. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Callenborn.
Okay, can you hear me okay back there? let's see. Okay, I can speak about 40 minutes, so about quarter after one and a little bit after. Let me just start the presentation here. Over the last 10 to 15 years, I've been doing research on hormones and breast cancer, and I'm an internist in Pennsylvania, and I have basically a desire or kind of interest in epidemiology. So I studied this for the past 10 years, and I'd like to show you some of the results today. I'm going to give you some statistics for both United States and Canada. In the U.S., as you can see, there are some statistics from 2007, but those are just estimates. So about 212,000 women developed breast cancer, and almost 41,000 died from it. Basically, the Canadian statistics are about 10% of our statistics. And whereas in Canada, you have one in nine women developing breast cancer in her lifetime. In the United States, is about one in eight. What people often do not hear about is that the rate of premenopausal breast cancer, and usually the age of menopause is about age 50, is about 20% of all cancers. So one in five cancers occur in women prior to age 50. In the United States, that's about 47,000. In Canada, it's about 4,400. In both black and white women over the years, these are the mid-70s, these are the early 1990s, this is the risk of breast cancer in women aged 20 to 44. And as you can see, it's increasing. What about in Canada? I guess you can see that slide from there, can't you? It's a little, you can see breast cancer rates have drifted from about, looks like about 85 or 90, I believe this is per 100,000, to what we have out here, about 103, 104. So basically all over the world, breast cancer rates have risen in the last 30 to 40 years. Here are your statistics, which are pretty close to ours. And you can see this age group here, 40 to 49 and under. These are all the women under 50 who had breast cancer in 2007. Again, this is an estimate. If you add 3,500, 840, 70, and 5, it comes to 4,415, which is about 20% of your total number of women who develop breast cancer. So the U.S. and Canada have the same basic statistics. About 20% of your women are developing breast cancer before age 50. Excuse me. Now, breast cancer is kind of difficult because there are so many factors that cause breast cancer. So it's very hard to say that a woman's breast cancer was definitely caused by the birth control pill. Whereas lung cancer is usually caused by cigarettes, breast cancer has many factors. Very hard to pin it down. So If you have a positive family history, that means if you've had a sister, a mom, an aunt, your risk basically doubles. The older you are, the more likely you are to get breast cancer. Nulliparity, if you have not had children, that tends to increase your risk of breast cancer. For every child you have, your risk of breast cancer will go down about 10%. So if you have 10 children, you probably won't get breast cancer. Hormone exposure, the more hormones you've been exposed to, the higher your risk of breast cancer. Later menopause, because if you think about it, the longer a woman has her periods or cycles, the more her breast tissue are exposed to her own natural hormones. Early menarche, or when you start your periods, the earlier that is, the higher the risk. Age at first birth, a woman who has a child before age 20 has about half or three quarters of the risk of a woman who has a child after age 35. Most types of fibrocystic breast disease do not cause breast cancer. If they do a biopsy and they see funny looking cells called atypia or hyperplasia, that's associated with an increased risk. Of course, if you've had breast cancer in one breast, your risk of getting it in the other breasts are even higher than the normal population. The Women's Health Initiative and other studies have shown since about the year 2000 that taking hormones after menopause increases your risk of breast cancer about 5% per year. Defective BRCA1 or BRCA2 gene. And just think of these genes as brakes. Just think of the BR as brakes. Normally we have genes that stop cancer in our bodies. If you have a defective brake, just like if you have a defective brake in your car, you're going to have problems. So women, these are often Jewish women who have these defective genes, they have a higher risk of developing breast cancer. Alcohol consumption, the more you drink, the higher your risk of breast cancer. There aren't that many studies, so this is sort of a loose risk. It's not as tightly defined as hormones. If you're obese, especially after menopause, that increases your risk. Radiation exposure. In Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the women who did not have children and were exposed to the radiation of the atomic bombs had a much higher increased risk of breast cancer. If they did have children, there wasn't much increased risk. That shows you that having children protects you. And I should also say breastfeeding. For every 6 months of breastfeeding, your risk of breast cancer goes down about 5 to 10%. Women took this artificial estrogen, diethylstilbestrol, between 1937 and I think it was 1960 or 65. They were told that it could help prevent miscarriage, and they took it while they were pregnant. That actually increases the risk of breast cancer in the women who took it. Having other cancers, colon cancer, ovarian cancer, uterine cancer, increases your risk of developing breast cancer a little bit. There's a lot of controversy about miscarriage and abortion. It seems that at least some of the studies show that if you've had one of these before your first birth, that increases your risk somewhat. Now, why have breast cancer rates risen? You know, just because they've risen doesn't mean it's all because of the birth control pill. So what other factors could be doing this? Women are having fewer children, especially in Europe, Canada, United States, compared to 40 or 50 years ago, where a lot of our parents came from, maybe there was, you know, four or five in their family, or maybe six or seven, and most families today maybe just have two. So every time you have fewer children, that risk of breast cancer in the mother is going to increase compared to a woman who's had more children. Less breastfeeding than maybe 30 or 40 years ago. I don't know how it is in Canada, but in the U.S. it dropped way off and it's starting to come back a little bit. Of course, there was no or little compared to now as the frequency or number of abortions, especially the early abortions, so that may be a factor. And hormonal contraceptive use started basically since 1960, And it's not only taking the birth control pill, as we're going to see today, it's taking it before you've ever had a child, which is when the breast is most vulnerable to carcinogens or cancer-producing agents. Just a little bit about the history of oral contraceptives. In 1905, there's a gentleman named Ernest Starling, and he basically discovered these glandular secretions, which are basically the first hormones. And that led to the discovery later of the two main hormones, estradiol, which is a type of estrogen. Estrogen is the main class. And then there's hundreds of subtypes. And progesterone, which is a type of progestin. Progestin is the main class. And then a few people helped develop the birth control pill. A gentleman named Pincus, pioneer of the birth control pill. In 1943, he took the findings of another gentleman named Dr. Russell Marker, who discovered a way to extract progesterone from yams. I guess these are plants from Mexico mostly. I've never seen a yam, but has anyone here seen a yam? Is that all it is? Oh, okay. So much for my knowledge of food. In the early 50s, Pincus injected rabbits with progesterone and they stopped ovulation. Then he met with a feminist named Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood. She asked him to develop the first birth control pill. And they needed money, so they went to a very wealthy widow named Catherine McCormick, and she supplied them with the money. The main obstacle to the birth control pill were the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church. So what they did, Pincus was Jewish, and Margaret Sanger was vehemently anti-Catholic, so they, I would say, purposely looked for someone who was bright and a Roman Catholic to try to get the pill introduced, and they found it in John Rock, an OBGYN. They did two major trials. They performed it first on 15 schizophrenic patients in Worcester State Hospital. You wouldn't be allowed to do this today because, of course, they can't really give informed consent. The second experiment was on women from Puerto Rico, and they enrolled 300 women. They couldn't do this on U.S. women because there were Comstock laws, which basically forbid contraception. These women in Puerto Rico were given Enovid. Enovid is the first birth control pill which contained 10 times the amount of hormones that today's birth control pills contain. And out of those women, out of 300 women, 162 women dropped out, second to nausea, dizziness, and headaches. But in spite of the problems, on May 11th, our Food and Drug Administration officially approved Enovid for the first birth control pill. And I don't know when Canada had their first. Does anybody, God bless you, anybody know? About 1960, maybe? 65? Okay, you probably have the Food and Drug Administration, something like that here too. Okay, so what is an oral contraceptive? Excuse me. It's a combination of synthetic estrogen and progestin. Remember, these are not natural, so they're going to have different effects on your body. How does it work? First, it works on the gland that's just right behind your eyeballs here, about an inch in, called the pituitary gland. So it works to suppress ovulation, but it doesn't eliminate ovulation. Women still probably ovulate about 10% of the time or so, even with taking the birth control pill. The progestin thickens cervical mucus, and it changes the lining of the endometrium. When you're looking to see if something causes breast cancer, you want to look at three different levels. You want to look at animal data, then you want to look at a theory, and then you want to look at human data. So let's just take a look at animal data. In 1972, an oral contraceptive containing mestronol, which is a type of estrogen, and norethindrol, a type of progestin, appeared to cause a case of metastatic breast cancer in a female rhesus monkey. There it is. Now, why is this important? Excuse me. Until this time, there were only 3 cases of breast cancer in all the world literature. So, the birth control pill in this study was given to 6 monkeys, and one of them developed metastatic breast cancer. There was further concern when it was given to both beagles and rodents. These were either rats or mice. And they developed breast cancer. So now you have 3 different animals developing breast cancer, which is a lot. I mean, usually in today's world, the Food and Drug Administration would stop the drug right there. Now, how might the pill cause breast cancer? This is a classic paper by Anderson in 1989, and he noted that women, nulliparous women, women who did not have children yet, who took oral contraceptives, had a significantly higher rate of breast cell division. Now, what does that mean? Let me just I'll get to that graph in a minute. Do you get I Love Lucy here, the reruns of I Love Lucy? Or do you remember the version where Ethel and Lucy were trying to make chocolates and they couldn't keep up with the assembly line, so they put them in their shirts and they started eating them and everything like that? Well, when you speed up the rate of breast cell division, that's not natural. And of course, the body has a certain time, certain place for everything. And if you speed it up, it's like an assembly line. Something's going to go wrong. And in medicine, it's called a DNA error. One of those little cells that's not dividing symmetrically, the DNA or chromosomes get a little out of shape, and you have a DNA error. So what Anderson found was that this is early in a woman's menstrual cycle, and this is late, after she's ovulated, right before her period. And this is women who have never had children. This is the rate of breast cell division. All of our cells, except for basically our nerve cells, are always dividing. Can you see over there? And breast cells also divide. And every time a woman has a cycle, her breast cells divide and mature a little bit. And they mature a lot once you've had a baby, of course, getting ready to lactate, to milk. But what happens here is you can see, though, when a woman is taking the birth control pill, her rate of breast cell division, especially this part of the cycle, increases by 20 to 30%. Is there another way in which the birth control pill may cause breast cancer? Larimore and Stanford, in an exhaustive review, showed that the pill works at times by causing a post-fertilization effect. It doesn't always work by contraception or stopping ovulation. Sometimes it works by a very early abortion, where it changes the lining of the uterus and the tiny zygote or embryo can't implant. And you might say, well, what could an early abortion have to do with breast cancer? Well, there were studies from this article done in California, and these are women in whom they studied, I think it was an in vitro fertilization clinic, and they found that if you look at this dotted line, this is what happens right here after you ovulate. If you don't get pregnant, this dotted line shows the hormone level of progestin. It goes up a little bit, goes down. And the dotted line shows what happens to estrogen. What happens if you do get pregnant? Notice that after almost 6-7 days, maybe 8 days, your progesterone levels have risen. And almost after 5 or 6 days, the estrogen levels have risen, which means that if the birth control pill causes an early abortion, like around day 7, you're knocking down these hormone levels. That's called a hormonal blow in medicine, and that may increase your risk of breast cancer. Just a little bit of history. There are 4 studies, and these 2 are from the U.S. Pike in California, the CASH study. These just show that there was some increased risk in some subgroups. I'm going to go into this in more detail in a minute. Chilvers from England, Britain is from the National Cancer Institute. 4 big studies showed some risk, basically through the 80s and early 90s. Now, if the studies show an increased risk, why have women not really heard about it? At least in the 1990s. Most of the answer comes from this study. It was a large study. It's called the Oxford Pooled Analysis with many different authors. The chief author was Valerie Burrell from England, Oxford. And look at this study. It's called the Pooled Analysis. You take all the data in the world, published in 1996, published in The Lancet, 53,000 women, 54 studies, 25 countries. Their conclusion: women who are currently using combined oral contraceptives or have used them in the past 10 years are at a slightly increased risk of having breast cancer, although the additional breast cancers tend to be localized to the breast. There's no evidence of an increase in the risk of having breast cancer diagnosed 10 or more years after cessation of use. Now, if you're an average family doctor, an OBGYN, and you heard that the best researchers in the world came together and they said there's only a slightly increased risk, and 10 years after you stop using the birth control pill, your risk is the same as everyone else's, you really, you know, that's not going to really cause you to be alarmed or stop using the pill. That's basically saying don't worry about it, or very, you know, you don't really have to be too careful. At least that's what I hear. But there are four problems in the Oxford study. First of all, the Oxford study took data from the 1960s and 1970s. So, for example, if Canada had an increase in the use of the birth control pill in 1965 onward, do you think a study in 1975 is going to show anything? Okay, it might, but just like with cigarettes, sometimes you have to let 15 or 20 years to go by. You know, certainly a study in the early 70s are not going to show much. The second problem of the Oxford pooled analysis, the failure to examine the risk in premenopausal women who used oral contraceptives prior to their first term pregnancy. Now, when do most women use the birth control pill? What stage in their lives, would you say? Before or after pregnancy? Probably today, almost all before. And yet, in their study, they didn't have one chart or graph on this statistic of the risk of premenopausal breast cancer in women who took it before they've had a child. I'm not going to go into this because it's a little complicated. It'll take a little bit of time. They also used a prospective studies. Prospective studies in research are the preferred studies, or studies that go through time, versus retrospective, where you look back in time. The problem with including these studies in their pooled analysis is that they had several problems. One of their studies never examined women who had breast cancer. That's not good. I mean, that's bad. Much of the data of the other 9 studies included postmenopausal women. Now, you can include in any study women who are 70 or 80, but if you took an 80-year-old and the study was done in 1990 or 2000, you know, she's not going to have used the pill, especially before her first full-term pregnancy. An 80-year-old probably never heard of the pill at age 20 because it wasn't around. Definitely didn't hear about the pill. So you can't do this. You can't put a lot of older women into these studies and expect a good study. So that had some problems. Therefore, their conclusion really, it can't be accepted. I mean, it's just not, there are too many flaws in my view. Recent news, in July 29, 2005, a branch of the IARC, which is a branch of the World Health Organization, declared oral contraceptives to be a Group 1 carcinogen. Group 1 carcinogen is the most dangerous classification. That's the World Health Organization. What's the definition exactly? And the agent as a mixture is carcinogenic to humans. The exposure circumstance entails exposures that are carcinogenic to humans. And they go on, quote, there is sufficient evidence in humans for the carcinogenicity of combined oral contraceptives. This evaluation was made on the basis of increased risks for cancer of the breast among current and recent users only. So when the World Health Organization says something is a group 1 or class 1 carcinogen, that should send up red flags.